Hello, everyone. Please get your Bible as we continue with the series of Bible studies through the book of Acts. If you follow along in your Bible, you'll see these verses that we go through have a lot more meaning. We finished chapter 24 last time, so now we'll begin with chapter 25. Acts chapter 25 and verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. In other words, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. Well, who is this Festus that we read about here in verse 1? I'm going to give a little background to chapter 25 and 26 from Halley's Bible Handbook. It's a nice little synopsis that will lay the groundwork for us going through chapter 25 and 26 today. He says, regarding Festus, the governor, Festus succeeded Felix as governor in 60 AD. The Jews were still plotting to murder Paul. Festus, though convinced of Paul's innocence, was disposed to turn him over to the Jews, which Paul knew would mean death. So Paul appealed to Caesar, which as a Roman citizen he had a right to do, and which appeal Festus had to honor. Paul's Roman citizenship, probably conferred on his father for some service to the state, more than once saved his life. And now he talks about Agrippa, King Agrippa, that we'll also be reading about in these next chapters. Halley says, this Agrippa was Herod Agrippa II, son of Herod Agrippa I, who 16 years before had killed James. He was the grandson of Herod Antipas, who had killed John the Baptist and mocked Christ, great-grandson of Herod the Great, who had murdered the children of Bethlehem. Scion, or offspring, of this murderous family, he was king over the province on the northeast border of Palestine, and he is now asked to aid Festus. Bernice was his sister, living with him as his wife, a woman of rare beauty. She had already been married to two kings and had come back to be her own brother's wife. Later she became mistress to Emperor Vespasian and to Emperor Titus. Halley says, think of Paul making his defense before a pair like that. Indeed. Even so, Agrippa was profoundly impressed. But to Festus, the idea of a resurrection from the dead was so unthinkable that he cried out that Paul must be crazy. They all agreed that Paul was innocent of any wrong. And Mr. Halley writes about Luke, the author of this book. Luke, though not in prison, was with Paul in Caesarea. The reason he says this is because the author of the book of Acts often uses the term we, and it's pretty well established that Luke was the author of the book. So he was with Paul and could write with authority this book of Acts. It is thought that this was when Luke wrote his gospel. Can't be proven, but this is what some of the scholars think, that he wrote his gospel while he was in Caesarea with Paul. His 2-year sojourn in Caesarea gave him opportunity to spend time in Jerusalem and perhaps Galilee, talking with apostles and original companions of Jesus, gathering first-hand information. Mary, the mother of Jesus, may have been still living. Can't prove that, but Halley says maybe. From whose lips Luke could have learned her own story of Jesus' birth and childhood and many incidents of his life. Of course, when you look into commentaries and handbooks, you read some very interesting information. Some of it can be proven. Some of it is sensible. Some of it is conjecture and speculation, and you have to sort your way through it. But it does give you a little background with fairly accurate information regarding some of these personalities, which you can study in other scholarly works of history. So with that in mind now, let's turn to Acts chapter 25 and verse 1 and begin reading. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the central city under his rule, so he wanted to establish himself there in one of the most important locations in his realm of authority. Verse 2, then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. He petitioned him. He tried to turn him against Paul. He began to give a biased, slanted report on the Apostle Paul. Verse 3, Acts 25, and he desired favor against him, against Paul, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. In other words, he wanted to ambush Paul and kill him. That was the high priest and his goons, and yet they considered themselves godly people. Verse 4, But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly there. He's going to come from Jerusalem back down to Caesarea and get involved. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able or have authority, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried or stayed among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Verse 7, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. But that's a minor detail. Why prove the accusations? Just lay the accusations, trump up the case, and murder Paul. That was the whole point that they were trying to make. Verse 8, while he answered for himself, Paul said this, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offered anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, will you go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? You'll see all through this entire process that it's pure politics. It's trying to win favor and trying to win concessions and trying to trump up charges and bring about a result that will gain power and political standing among various people and various authorities. That's all it is. And Paul becomes the victim, but God protects him from it all. Verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as you very well know. Now Paul was respectful, but he was also bold in making the points that he made. He wasn't afraid. He continues, verse 11, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. I'm not going to avoid the punishment of death if I've done anything that merits death, legally speaking. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. Why? Here's why. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, have you appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shall you go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus, who was the governor. And so the king came down to spend some time with him. Now these were a couple of really quote-unquote fine people. Not really. They were from a dynasty of murderers, especially of Christians. And Agrippa and Bernice were brother and sister. So here was Bernice married to her brother Agrippa. Rather disgusting when you think about it, but they were in power. And Paul had to stand before them and give an account of his actions and of his beliefs. And he did it magnificently. To repeat, verse 13, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus, or to greet him. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, or left in prison, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license or have opportunity to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. You know, when you study the modern legal system, you will see that a lot of the practices go all the way back to the Roman Empire and their legal system. The accused have the right to face their accuser. And they did as well in Paul's day. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay, on the morrow I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed. Festus says, and he goes on to say, verse 19, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, a better translation of their own religion, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, you shall hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, great circumstance, great glitter and glamour and showy flourish and production to draw attention to them, they made their entrance. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself has appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. That's what he wants, that's what we're going to give him, and by law we must give it to him. He must stand before Caesar, and Caesar will render the verdict in his case. Verse 26, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before you, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. Little flattery there thrown in, trying to gain the favor of King Agrippa and increase his standing as the governor. Verse 27, for it seemed to me unreasonable to send the prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Continuing now in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He used gestures. He gave a tremendous account of himself in this opportunity to speak and explain the truth to all who listened, which they did carefully, because they wanted to catch him in something so they then could trump up a conviction and then a sentence of death on him. But God was with him, as we will see. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Verse 2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching or concerning all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know you to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. I know you know about what I'm going to say. You know the truth about these things. So I hope you'll listen carefully, because I'm going to go through them and explain them to you using only facts and truth. That was the point that Paul was making here. Acts 26, verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. They know me. They know how I lived. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I not only was a Jew, I was the most serious, committed Jew and of the sect of the Pharisees. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, did you notice that? See, in Paul's day, the 12 tribes and the identity of the 12 tribes were not lost. They were known in Paul's day. And we can dig out who they are in our day and where they are. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly or earnestly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews, or by the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I cast my vote, in modern language, is what Paul was saying. And he's talking about how he was when he was Saul, before he was converted and his name was changed to Paul. And he repented of that deeply, and he was so sorry for it. But he didn't know the truth at the time. But he's telling them, look, you think that I'm going this way without knowing what I'm doing? You ought to just remember what I did before I started going this way. Not only was I like you, I was even more zealous than you are in persecuting and in pursuing these people who call themselves Christian. But I don't do that now, because I know the truth and I've gotten the facts. And I hope you will take time to look at the facts and consider the truth. Paul was making his case in that way before this tribunal headed up by King Agrippa. Verse 11, Acts 26. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad or enraged against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities or foreign cities. I ran them out of their homes and out of their cities. these people who call themselves followers of Christ, which I now am, but wasn't always. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, brighter than the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, or in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. Verse 15, and I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. Here was Jesus Christ himself speaking to the Apostle Paul. Paul knew Jesus personally. He spent a lot of time with him, and he was in touch with him and in contact with him. He was greatly strengthened by this, and that's one of the major reasons why Paul was able to accomplish what he accomplished against enormous hardships, persecution, and suffering. But he kept on going because he was in close contact with Jesus Christ, and he gained great strength from him. And here's a case where Jesus Christ is speaking to him directly, and he's giving him his assignment as he was struck down on the road to Damascus. And Paul is relating this before these government officials. Verse 16, Jesus Christ told him, But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister. See, Paul didn't choose the ministry for himself. Jesus Christ made him a minister. He put him in the ministry. He knew Paul well. He knew that once he repented and was directed to go in the right direction, he would be one of the most outstanding servants of God in all of history. And that's exactly what Paul turned out to be. Christ said, To make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto you, or will reveal unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Verse 18, Jesus Christ continues, To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. See, that's where the power is. The choice is either the power of God or the power of Satan. The power of God takes you in the right way toward the kingdom of God. The power of Satan takes you in the wrong way toward the world and its ugliness and sin. And so he says, Now, Paul, I'm going to turn you from the power of Satan unto God, that the people that you go to, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me. Now, Paul continues, verse 19. He was relating the conversation Jesus Christ had with him, and now Paul speaks for himself, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Christ spoke to Paul in vision, but it was directly to him from Christ. Verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, or region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, fitting for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, or seized me in the temple, and went about to kill me. For what cause? What crime did Paul commit? Answer, none. He simply spoke the truth and believed the truth. But the Jews viewed him as a threat. They didn't want him to begin to move people who were in their grip and in their synagogues away from them and toward Jesus Christ. And so their answer was, destroy him. And they went about to kill me, he says, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, that's where it came from. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning doth make you mad. You're losing your mind. He knew Paul was well educated. Paul was well known all in that region, all over that area. And now that he had changed and become so deeply involved with Christianity and one of the top leaders in the early New Testament church, these people who were involved in politics and involved in corruption and all caught up in the religious circles that were trying to kill Paul, tried anything and said anything that they thought would discredit him. And so Here was this governor, Festus, blurted out with a loud voice, "You're losing your mind. You're out of your mind," he said to Paul. But Paul answered this in verse 25, but he said, "I am not out of my mind. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and reason or soberness. For the king knows of these things, King Agrippa knows, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe them," Paul says. Verse 28, and notice this, what a powerful statement. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." And here's what Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I don't wish these shackles and this imprisonment on anyone, but I sure would love it if you and everyone who's hearing me in this room would come to the point to where they, too, will be a Christian as I am." And Paul didn't deny being a Christian, didn't back off from it, in fact, boldly proclaimed it, and let the chips fall where they may. We must learn to do that ourselves. Not push it on others, but don't deny it and run from it either. Explain it if somebody wants us to, and state it if the time comes to state it. Yes, we are Christians, and we love Jesus Christ and his way of life, and we follow it with all of our might. And we've got to be willing to do that no matter what it brings on us, perhaps persecution, and somewhere down the road, even death. That's what the early New Testament apostles and Christians and members of the true church did over and over and over again. They stood their ground and did not deny Jesus Christ and his way of life. Neither can we. Acts 26, verse 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. He doesn't even deserve to be in chains. He's done nothing wrong. All these charges are bogus. Why is he in prison? Why is he even being considered for the death penalty?" Verse 32. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." But God had in mind for Paul to go to Rome. And Paul appealed to Caesar. He knew that if he did appeal to Caesar, he would not be put in the hands of these religious leaders who were wanting to kill him. And God allowed that to happen. And now Paul is going to go up to Rome and make his stand before the authorities there. Therefore, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached there, and the truth of God will be taught. So God's in charge. He's managing all of these developments and these events overall. And Paul knows that, and so he simply goes forward in faith, totally trusting in God and following Jesus Christ, just as we must do. So that brings us to Acts chapter 27, and we'll pick it up there next time. Until then, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.